It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. For some people, the smell of cow manure is the smell of Wisconsin. There are more than 1.2 million cows in the state, and those animals produce a lot of manure.
Industrialized farming practices have led to what's known as concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. The State Department of Natural Resources defines these as farms with 1,000 or more animals, and the size of those farms and the amount of waste has led to environmental concerns and pushback in many communities.
Researchers at the University of Michigan recently crunched the numbers and found that there are 15,000 large-scale animal feeding operations nationwide, and that a quarter of them are located in just 30 counties. Benjamin Goldstein is Assistant Professor of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. He's a co-author of that study. Benjamin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
This study, you're looking at where these large animal farms, these CAFOs, are located around the country. Now, it seems like this should be easy. Okay, we're going to find out where the CAFOs are and what counties they're in and how big they are. As I read your report on that, it was a little more complicated even to figure out those basics. Why is that?
It's a good question. There is no authoritative and exhaustive list of CAFOs and their locations across the United States. Often, this is at the discretion of the states on what type of information to collect about animal feeding operations within their jurisdiction. And so really what we have to work with are a few different data sets that we could quilt together. One of them is from the EPA, because they do like to track this type of thing. And so they get the information that the states are provided. And then there's also a couple of business data sets that have tried to provide additional information about where CAFOs are. And so we took these three data sets and we looked at where they said animal feeding operations were. And some of the times they would be reporting the same operations, so we would remove those duplicates. Other times they were pointing towards a location where we didn't see any evidence of an animal feeding operation, and we would remove that. And then after, you know, that left us with about 10,000 different animal feeding operations, we went through systematically at a 6-mile by 6-mile grid across areas where we had the sense that there was underreporting of animal feeding operations. Like, we could see them from the satellite imagery, but they weren't in any of the data sets that we'd already looked at. And then we added those to this more comprehensive data set. And at the same time, we mapped out the actual size of each animal feeding operation, which is also a new addition here, because that is different than what we had before, which was just points. It was just the location. But now we actually know the size of the different animal feeding operations, which is important because it allows you to ask different questions, really. Because if you know the size, then you can see if bigger sizes relate to different types of impacts on the local communities.
Now, I'm looking at your map right now. No surprise, Wisconsin and your state of Michigan have a lot of counties with serious acreage devoted to these larger farms. Not the most dense. There are bigger ones in the country. Let's get into some of those questions now people in Wisconsin and Michigan might be asking. One thing you looked at, pollution, and a lot of times I think, of course, water pollution, you're also looking at air pollution. What did you find when you correlated, hey, here's where these CAFOs are and here's the air quality?
One thing that we know about CAFOs just anecdotally, and AFOs, and I should really clarify, this is about animal feeding operations, which is slightly different than a confined animal feeding operation. So animal feeding operations is a broader umbrella term that captures the CAFOs, but also non-CAFOs. So bigger farms where the animals have more space to be spread out. But that said, we know that large animal feeding operations, often there is a lot of hooves actually just disturbing the vegetation and often trampling it down. And so you end up with a lot of bare ground, dirt, and dust that eventually gets kicked up into the air. And this air then has small particulate matter that lingers in the air for hours at a time and travels significant distances. And it can actually penetrate deep into our lungs when we breathe it in. And if we do enough of this, it can actually generate scar tissue within our lungs. And so this can turn into long-lasting health impacts for those who breathe it in. And we found that all things being equal, so when we compared areas that had lots of CAFOs and large CAFOs to areas that had an absence of CAFOs, but were in the same climate, had the same industrial makeup, had similar geographical characteristics, that the ones that did have the AFOs in them had a higher concentration of this particulate matter in the ambient air. And so that means that with high likelihood that AFOs are contributing to higher levels of particulate matter in the air in those proximate communities.
And this is that PM2.5 particle. We got really interested in this when wildfire smoke was coming into Wisconsin over this last summer. This can be a serious problem. What would that point you toward to follow up research when it comes to, okay, we see these pollutants in these areas. How can we measure if there's an impact on human health?
Right. And that's really tricky. It's really tricky because we have all these confounding variables. We have wildfires, we have roads, we have other industrial sites that are creating pollution, right? And so we can't say 100% with certainty that it is these AFOs that are the sole reason that we have these higher particulate matter concentrations in the ambient air. But there are more sophisticated types of analyses that other people can do, hopefully taking our data set and really controlling for all those variables. So that would mean, for instance, looking at time of year and making sure that you weren't sampling the air when there were wildfires, for instance, and wildfire smoke, and then canceling that out so that we can properly attribute this particulate matter with 100% certainty. We have very high certainty right now, but still we can't really say 100% certainty. But deal with those uncertainties and really show that it is actually the AFOs that are, you know, driving higher particulate matter in those areas.
You also asked a different kind of question about who is living in these counties that have a lot of these larger animal feeding operations. You looked at some demographic things and healthcare coverage. What kind of things did you learn?
Well, it's sort of a mixed picture across the country. We found, you know, I guess in a positive note, in a place like Wisconsin, even though there are significant numbers of CAFOs, and that we have made this link between, you know, the AFOs and the particulate matter in the paper, that there's also high levels of insurance coverage for people that are in Wisconsin that are living near those AFOs. Not the same for other types of, or other locations of the country. For instance, you can see in our findings, we found that New Mexico, Texas, Kansas, there are actually high concentrations of these animal feeding operations alongside high concentrations of people that do not have health insurance. And so this is very problematic. If you're getting sick from being nearby industrial facilities but don't have insurance to cover you. But I would also argue that it's better to not get sick in the first place, even if you do have insurance.
And finally, Ben, I get the impression you've hinted at this, I think, that you've done this mapping, you've done this work finding out where these animal feeding operations are. You've picked a couple questions to ask using the maps you've made now, but you're hoping that people are going to take some of this baseline work you've done and run with it. What are your hopes for future research, whether you are personally involved in it or not?
One is that we can move away from correlation, so seeing the link, just saying, because right now we have correlation. We can see that there's CAFOs and AFOs in a location and we see higher particulate matter. But we want to move to causality to show that indeed it is the animal feeding operations that are causing that particulate matter. Not looking to blame them, but at least to make that link if it is there. And or at least to disprove that link if it isn't. So to really clarify that would be my number one research question. And then the second one would be about what you said with water pollution, because this allows us to ask all types of questions now, not just related to air pollution, but also the impacts of large animal feeding operations on local water quality. So this data set hopefully provides the ammunition for other researchers to do that.
Ben, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing your research with us.
I'm just happy you took an interest in it, and have a great day.
Benjamin Goldstein is Assistant Professor of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. Now for some perspective on what it's like to live and work near a large animal farm, we turn to Larry Brenner, who lives in Pierce County on the border with Minnesota, where he runs the outdoor dining venue Vino in the Valley. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, as we mentioned, you're in Pierce County. You're near this large animal feeding operation, Ridge Breeze Dairy, with 1,700 cows now. an expansion plan next year to 6,500 cows. Can you talk a little bit about what it is like near this farm with the current numbers?
Well, with the current numbers, I know two things when I have an east wind. One, as the old farmers will tell us, it's going to rain. And two, when I wake up in the morning and head outside, the smell is not very good. Now, thankfully, we don't have a lot of east winds that are more predominant depending on the season, out of the south or out of the north. But you can really, really tell when I walk outside in the morning what direction the wind is out of. So there are two CAFOs actually right next to each other, but Ridge Breeze is the one that's going from 1,700 to 6,500. And that's where we're, you know, really concerned as neighbors.
And you and some of your neighbors sign a petition saying, hey, let's have another look at approving this expansion. What are some of the concerns you're raising?
Well, there's very little oversight. The DNR has a few, you know, the feds don't have any oversight. The state, it just has the DNR, and they're very, very understaffed. In fact, our guy, Jeff Jackson with the DNR, he's got 26 CAFOs that range in geography from Superior, Wisconsin, down to Trempealeau County by Arcadia, Wisconsin. So he's got a big territory. And the other big concern is that, there's only 1.5, that's one full-time and one part-time person that's actually looking over the nutrient studies. And those are very, very, very detailed. And there's just not enough oversight. So the biggest concern that we have and what we're trying to do is create some ordinances at the town level that will create some oversight. Do they have a plan for fire? Do they have a plan for diseases? Like mad cow used to be a big deal, and then the avian flu, and now there's another new strain down in Texas that who knows where that's going to end up. But there's just very few plans for, you know, accidents that certainly could happen when you're talking about 80 million gallons of manure being produced a year.
You, in addition to living there, have an outdoor restaurant, Vino, in the Valley. Does the dairy farm affect your business, do you think? And do you think an expansion would be a concern for that?
You know, Rob, to this point, it hasn't been a major concern, again, because the predominant winds are out of the north and the south in the winter when we're open. We're a seasonal restaurant, and it is outdoor. So my concern is twofold with the business, really. We're only about, you know, just a little over a mile, I tell people, 7,000 feet from their furthest west lagoon that they're building, which is going to hold 44.5 million gallons of liquid manure. And, you know, that festering or in the sunlight, brewing in the sunlight, I don't know what that's going to create. You know, time will tell. And the other big thing is the storm runoff and just the runoff from the fields. I have two wells here. I have my home well and my business well, and they're very much in danger. We're downhill. We're in the valley right below Ridge Breeze, and we all know which way, you know, manure flows. So we're very, very concerned about our water quality, and, you know, water is everything for us. And if we lose that, that's going to have a big effect on our business, because we use water in our cooking. It's in our ice for our drinks. And you know, we serve about, give or take, 2,000 people every 4-day weekend from May until the end of October. And we're very scared. It's a family-run business, and I don't know what to expect. So we're just hoping that we can get the town, the townships in the area on board with some ordinances so that we have some things to fall back on if and when an accident occurs.
What do nitrate concerns in those wells mean for how you handle water in the restaurant? Are you filtering? Are you taking measures for that there?
It's a great question. I'm already living the dream, or the nightmare, I guess you'd call it. I have a second restaurant down in Buffalo County, up on the ridge between Fountain City, Wisconsin, and Arcadia. Acadia, Wisconsin. And there are many, many, many large chicken CAFOs up there, big operations. They've been there forever, from Arcadia Friars days to they were sold to Golden Plump, and then they recently sold to Pilgrim, which is an international poultry company. And my restaurant down there was teetering right around that 10 parts per million, and then it went up over the top to 13, and the health department basically made us put up signs that if you are a female, you're pregnant, you're planning on being pregnant, you're nursing, or you have young children, you can't drink our water. And that doesn't do a whole lot for business either. I did put in a Kinetico filtering system, let's see, about 9 months ago, and it has worked so far, but we have to be measured every quarter, and we're in kind of like a probation period with the health department. They have to measure us every quarter, and after we have four successful quarters of being below 10 parts per million, then we can take those signs down. But for the entire future of that restaurant, I have to go through quarterly measurements because they, you know, they know that if the filtering system shuts down, we immediately could go over the top. So those signs don't do us any favors. They're wherever, you know, water is distributed in the restaurant, and a young lady comes back from the bathroom and she's asked our waitresses in the past, or the women have, what's the deal with the water here? And we have to explain, and it doesn't usually end well. So I'm already living it down in Arcadia, and I'm terrified it's going to happen here. And this particular place has been open for 19 years. And, you know, we get a ton of people, a lot of tourism from the Twin Cities, and that's about 75% of our business. So these people will be very concerned if our water is not drinkable.
You mentioned you're hoping for the local government to do some kind of oversight. Are there things, you're operating in a couple different places in the state now, are there things you'd like to see change at the state level when it comes to permitting or oversight of these larger animal operations?
Well, they're going to have to wake up pretty soon, I think, and realize that this is not just a local problem in a couple of places in the state of Wisconsin. It's statewide. There's right now 342 and counting CAFOs in the state of Wisconsin, and you know that's affecting a lot of people. So, yes, I'd like to see a study and more. I know Minnesota is already starting a five-year study, and I've seen bits and pieces that Wisconsin is thinking about it as well. But, you know, once these things are built and they're producing all of this manure and all these nitrates, that horse has left the barn. So I wish they would get going, and this thing's ramping up quickly, and they've got to, you know, they got to move forward and start coming up with some guidelines and some, these places have to have plans for all of the different things that could happen.
Larry, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Larry Brenner is owner of the restaurant Vino in the Valley in Pierce County. That's located next to a large dairy operation with plans to expand. Earlier, we heard from Benjamin Goldstein, assistant professor of environment and sustainability at the University of Michigan. He's one of the authors of a study that looks at the geography of CAFOs and other large animal facilities around the U.S. and their connection to elevated air pollution.